This is session number 201, recorded on November 14th, copyright 2009, New Grand View Incorporated, all rights reserved. And we're starting at 7:04 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good morning.
Good morning. Now, we had a great session last night on 1364, 2012, and the polar shift. You mean that football stuff? Hot, hot, right?
Yeah.
What's interesting is that the polar shift was known by those that calculated 13,000 year cycles. They studied the stars enough to figure out that spans of time, spans of existence. That spans. And
but don't just change the word. They didn't count it like time. It wasn't.
Let's not go off on the time. It's the wrong word. They counted it or did something. It must remain nameless. It must remain nameless what they did.
Well, no. We can explain this. It's simpler. It's what they noticed. It's kind of like they noticed that when the cow would come in, they'd have milk. You see, when they're springing, they'd have a calf, and then the cow would have milk. Well, when does that happen? Well, it's when the cow has a baby. Well, when the cow's not pregnant or doesn't have a baby, then there's no milk. So there's no time schedule of that. It's just the season. So they paid attention to the seasons. They noticed things because they didn't have they weren't tweeting and they weren't watching their chip body and caressing their TV body. All they had was their chemical body and their astral body, if they didn't get caught at it, because the sorcery was against the rules, and it didn't matter why in those days. So all you had was looking at the stars, the sun, moon, stars, and skies, and your chemical body. That's all there was. So, and it wasn't even judged by your printing press, and there was nothing to type. So they didn't really have anything else to do, and they were outside paying attention to it, because if they didn't chop every single thing down that they ate, they starved. So it was a constant process of foraging and creating resources.
Okay, so they noticed this 13,000-year cycle had a polar shift.
Season
had a polar shift, right? It's only every 13,000 years?
They didn't know what that meant. Here's what they noticed. What they noticed is that the aquifers, the running aquifers, would run the opposite way. You know what else they noticed? They noticed that dry creek beds would become wet. Dry creek beds.
Creek beds.
Like a wet spring, meaning that if it's really, really dry, the spring will go dry. If it's really rainy, then the spring will flow. Water will just come out of the ground. They noticed that those all changed. They also knew that the bark on the trees grew heavier on the what you call the southwardly position than they did on the northerly position. They also noticed in the making of curd, meaning the collecting of curd, what they make for cheese, that the seasoning process of aging cheese was greatly shortened. Must have had something to do with the change of the bacteria growth. That was what they noticed. Now, the Armenians and the Mennonites and the Amish, now see, they had signs and wonders that they paid attention to. For example, if cream spoils and the bread doesn't rise, they would notice that, and they would know that someone had put the hank on them, which is this spooky voodoo, whatever this stuff is. But they had a spirit, a negative spirit, and they gave great attention to that. So when a spirit showed up in their experience, their bread wouldn't rise, the milk would sour prematurely. And they use that as a knowing of being affected, OK? okay, by a spirit. Now, that's also a season, but they were just very attuned to noticing. That's all. Now, they saw that as a negative connotation. It wasn't. But it would show up and they would know. It would be, you always, Bob, love your degrees of empirical evidence. Okay? We have to say, the satellites are going to fall. Well, when? Okay? Mm-hmm. When this stuff changes. And they're going to crash to Earth, and you're going to notice that. And even CNN is going to notice that. And you go, oh, cool, okay, we'll mark that down. We don't know why you like the empirical evidence, but you do, and that's okay with us because we love you more than you know what love is. So we're easy. We'll give it to you just all day, every day, no problem.
Well, we appreciate that. Now, the satellites are going to drop out, aren't they?
They are.
Right. But let's go back. Is the polar shift every 13,000 years, or does it happen more? More
season.
Than that?
No.
Yeah, 14,000. That is a season, a polar shift season.
Yes. So, good. Now, let's go to the Hopi. You've left.
Just a second. So you got this. They notice it in their way, and they notice a change, and they've been you see, the first time it changes, it has to have happened. It has to have spanned 13,000 years, and everybody had to be watching the records, and they were, and they said, oh, wow, everything's going backwards. Everything's upside down.
Well, then here's what's very interesting about that, Bob. The Mayans didn't make it through a 13,000-year cycle themselves.
Yeah.
So that's why we have to go to the next tier level of the Hopi Indians.
All right.
Now, the Hopi Indians, they have the same type drawings, but no one's speaking about them. And they actually have almost been around long enough to get through a cycle. Nobody talks about this. This would be your Native American Indians, the Hopi tribe.
Yeah.
Typically out in the desert areas and the Mexico areas of Grand Canyon, you know, that kind of, that geographic area primarily. All right, they saw that there was four cycles, four beginnings and four ends, four worlds. And this goes back to your sinus rhythm of four chambers. All right? And they saw it as man was for one chamber, meaning a cycle, and then they went away. Then there was a new heaven and a new earth, and that would be cycle two, or worlds two. That was the experience of when that happened again. Now they speak about this being the fourth beginning of man. So now that's transubstantiating. They didn't say it this way, but oh, you marvelous creators, we're going to read between the lines. When they start talking about a resurrection, somebody's got to be dead. Right?
Yeah.
They don't say that every man past expired. But they do speak of it as four specific sections where the earth was full of grace and glory, and then it was not. And it happened again, and then it was not. It happened again, and then it was not. And now they say we're fixing it. It lines up within 40 months of the Mayan and the Tibetan Book of the Dead version of this 2012, starting the fourth rotation or process, or we don't know exactly which word to use, so we use several and you can add your own.
What was the 40 months? What was it? What about
40 months? 40 months. Their cycles are off by 40 months from the Mayans and from the Tibetans.
Oh, I see. And the Tibetans were 26 days, or what was the Tibetans were different from them? 26 years. 40 months, that's 3.5 years, three and a quarter years.
It's very close. Mm. It's even closer than the other. And that hasn't been embraced because they don't give credence to the Hopi Indians. But their shaman, they were their astral body directors.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Astral body directors saw it very seamlessly, clearly.
Right. Now, you said that sorcery, if you got into your astral body and that sorcery, that was controlled in that world. So, you know, you had people were accused of sorcery.
Well, the Pendragons didn't even allow Merlin to work his magic in all of Camelot, and he was on their side.
Hmm. Then the Pendragons are a name of a family?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You know, King Arthur, he was a Pendragon.
Okay, got it. But so sorcery, there were shamans in those cultures. Were they outsiders?
They weren't practicing witchery.
Who practiced witchery? Someone who wasn't authorized as a shaman?
No, the shaman couldn't practice witchery.
How did they do? What was witchery as opposed to other stuff they did?
Well, that's the question. We don't know either. People would have marvelous things show up, marvelous luck, or something, and they would accuse them of being a sorcerer and have them put to death.
I see. Okay, so it was...
Anything anomalous.
Yes. So the Mayans weren't around 13,000 years, but their astral body directors were able to go to other worlds and figure it out or see it.
There you go. Very good. Because they're also linked into these signages. And you notice how we were very careful how we said that, signages.
Yeah, that's our legend.
The signage. It's already written on those stones that are old. Or new.
Mm.
Or R. Maybe that's the stones R.
Right.
They have keys and codes. Even in the Mayan coverlet, which is like this huge stone cover in the lower section, they have a carved spaceship and someone riding the spaceship. And it's the deck or the top of this, like a tomb.
Mm-hmm.
And inside of it, they have this spaceship, looks like a motorcycle spaceship shuttle with a person on it with a space helmet with the oxygen and the whole nine yards. And they don't talk about that so much, but it's certainly there and it's certainly questionable because it even gives it looks just like even your spacesuit today.
Right, but is that a drawing or an actual motorcycle with someone there?
No, it's a spaceship, and it's an actual stone carving of it.
Is there a spacecraft in there?
Yeah.
And, okay, there's a spacecraft in there, and then there's a carving of it outside.
No, I'm sorry. The spacecraft that is shown is carved into stone.
Yeah.
Not the actual ship.
Is that an image that Eric von Däniken found or reported, or is that one that no one noticed?
We don't know.
Okay, so you have this cycle, and they know the Polish. The polar shift happens. Matter is shifting. Frequencies are changing, and it's just coincidental. Or the Christian culture projects it as the second coming or the apocalypse. That is a miscalculation.
Do you
of what
call it is the first coming?
Who did?
The Jewish people will call it
yes.
The first.
Yes. Yeah. The biblical significance at the end of time or the end days time, whatever they're called, that is an exaggeration by a culture that doesn't know, or maybe they do know. There's a natural way to look at what's going on, and not identify.
The only thing that's happening is the we don't want to call it the fatalist, but we would actually call it more like the Jonathan Edwards crowd that are running these end times. Oh, get ready because it's over next day after tomorrow. It's not over. It changes, but it's not over. That's the dynamic that they miss. Because Jesus didn't say that it was going to be the end of earth. They said if you don't know how to pray, pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, the Christians are very clear. The rest of the story is that everybody doesn't go off to heaven. Heaven comes here.
Hmm.
On earth. As it is in heaven. Once you get rid of that stinking curtain dividing you and non-physical, then they merge. Oh, but Nina says that's a problem when you start merging worlds. that one gets smashed and one replaces it. That is exactly what we're describing. Now, if you call that doomsday, be damn doomed, because that's the case. But if you don't see that as doomsday, if what you're replacing it with, just like we talked about dropping a bad habit, you never drop a bad habit. You replace the habit with another habit.
Hmm.
So if you replace earth with a heavenly world, great. Very wonderful. So then what happens is human creators can come into their power and knowing. They still may have a little contrast, but the only contrast will be, do I have 8 Snicker bars or 10 Snicker bars today? Well, for some, that wouldn't be contrast, you see.
Okay.
But if that is contrast, that'd be all there'd be to it. You can still create, still stay in your physicalness, no longer have time. It's the end of time. That's it. Good, good, good. Thank God we're getting rid of it. There really is no time already, but this new season, this new session, this new experience that you're coming to because you timed the damn thing wrongly to start with anyway. But if you could stay in your physical and have full power with your non-physical helping at every whim, then guess what, Bob? Heaven does come on earth as it is in heaven. Then, that's sort of that last book that you've been betting at, is on earth as it is in heaven.
Right. Now, the Christian culture has been around maximum 2,000 years, but then you include the Hebrew culture, so maybe 3,000 years or more. Or
well,
that's time. That doesn't work.
1,000 in dog years.
Yeah, so, okay. It's interesting that the polar shift happens now, whenever now is, and at the same time there's a cultural Christian thing saying it's the end times. Was that coincided intentionally?
It was authored that way, but people misunderstood it. They understood it that this destruction of this earth would end their beingness.
Yeah, in other words, so
but yet they have eternal life.
Okay, I got that. When they were roting.
They wrote it by rote. They read it by rote. I guess they did when they were roting Revelation.
Yes.
And if you run through Revelation, of course you missed a chapter that didn't make it through the Council of Nicaea.
But you saw it being written.
We did. And that brings the balance of the Prince of Tithes.
Okay, hold
that brings.
What brings the balance? That writing?
The 23rd chapter.
Oh yeah, it balances it off, right. Okay, but
they don't include it because it takes all the meat and gravy away from the meal. You got to have these horsemen, the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse, to come and smote you down so that you can get right with God before he cracks your head open or whatever. Well, that's not the devil doing that. Those are those angelic beings from God himself.
The 4 horsemen?
Now God is the great smoter. Well, now wait a second.
Are those the 4 horsemen? You mean the great angelic beings are the 4 horsemen?
Yes.
Okay, can you just hold a second? I'm interested in the timing here. Did someone...
We expect you are, Bob. Go ahead.
Yes. Did someone in the Christian culture, John or Matthew or somebody, know that the polar shift would happen?
No.
They weren't referring to that at all.
No.
Okay. So they're projecting the Bible should see the signs, and the signs are now in different ways within the Bible, wherever they look for the signs. And it just happens to be that they're noticing the signs right when we're having the end of the 13,000 year cycle. Is that just a coincidence or?
There aren't any of those.
Yeah, that's right. So it's there to create contrast. The Christian thing is here to create contrast in relation to the inevitable polar shift.
No, it's to modify. No, yes, Bob, absolutely, no question. But let's just beat that up a little bit. Hell no, it was not. what it was about was so you could come to that decision whether you turn or burn. It was where you have to follow, not Jesus, not the Christ. That's not what you're supposed to follow. What you're supposed to follow is our collective dogma of the church.
Yeah.
The point of that writing was not so you could enjoy non-physical in your heart, which is we were great proponents of that. We say absolutely, if you can get non-physical to live in your heart, boy, you've got it. The cares of life will indeed go strangely dim, and you will eliminate yourself from many others because you'll become into your power. Which is, that's what Jesus is supposed to be, remember? Well, if that Holy Spirit can come and nest itself in your heart, well, and you can have a relationship with non-physical, with Jesus, hey, the world is wonderful. The flowers bloom, the heavens open, the sea is quieted. You are in your notion of power. And if you follow that, great. No. They use that as saying, you will be smoked down at the judgment seat, and you will burn eternally in the lake of fire if you don't align yourself with our dogma.
Okay, got that. Now, that was the Council of Nicaea, and they projected that into John of Patmos' writings and brought that in, and they purposely knocked off chapter 23. And is there a residue of chapter 23 anywhere?
Yes.
In the Vatican?
No.
Somewhere else. And that's one of the most unknown facts of recorded history, correct? Not many people know about that.
Okay. That's fine. But you see, if you notice how they clipped it off, the story isn't complete. So it's almost like they whacked off the last chapter and then modified it a bit to say, okay, this is all there is, and don't change a word, and don't add or subtract, and follow these words, and have a nice day.
The Council,
and thanks for the fish.
Yes, Council of Nicaea was a political move, totally political.
Well, okay, because you're asking, you're not asking, you're telling.
Yeah.
When you're asking us for a stamp, you don't need non-physical, you just need a rubber stamp.
Yeah.
We would say, the way you're saying it, yes, but not exactly. But now think about it. Who made up the Council of Nicaea? A group of folks that were elected in the higher ranks of the parliament of the day, who their job was to open and close the canon for the Holy Catholic Scriptures, or the Holy Scriptures, that would be bound or put into writings that the world may know. So they were a political party voting on what stays and what doesn't, and many, many, many works were being brought and summoned forth for them to consider if it would be included in the canon or not.
Were there any associates of Jesus at that? Because that was 25 years after Jesus' transition, right? Were there any associates of Jesus who were part of the council?
They didn't make the election.
Did they run?
No.
They didn't even run. They didn't even make the... And was that a Christian church? Well, wasn't the church set up by Paul? The church bureaucracy was set up by Paul, St. Paul, and Peter didn't want it to move out into the going
over. Peter was killed very soon after Jesus.
Oh, okay. Was Paul killed?
Crucified upside down.
What'd you say? Upside down? What?
Peter was chose to be crucified upside down a week after Jesus' crucifixion.
Did Paul have him killed?
No.
Okay.
He didn't.
Peter
chose to be crucified.
Okay. Paul, they say there was St. Paul, there was a theological dispute between Paul,
there
Peter.
There were five Pauls. Paul of Cyrus, Paul of Silas. You have the Emmaus Road and the Damascus Road. They're different people. They link them in the stories as being very close, but they're not the same folks. So So if you're gonna do Paul, then you need to tell us which one. Well, we know you don't know. That's okay. Tell your story, and we'll clean it up and get you in the right path real quick. It's easy done.
Well, were there any friends, associates of Jesus when he was alive?
No.
They weren't. And so who were these people that set up this structure, this Council of Nicaea?
The politicians of the church of the day.
Was that in Rome?
No,
or
Nicaea. It was in Nicaea.
And were they part of the Roman Empire?
They were.
Were they Romans or they were?
No, not really.
There was a satrapy.
Yeah. See, they weren't going to admit that, but then Christianity, see, started catching on. You know, it's about as silly as talking about Constantinople, talking about being a really marvelous church worker. Well, he just turned the last few moments of his world before he transitioned to even acknowledge Christ. Everything other than that was off at their heads. So, you know, it gets kind of cheeky after you start thinking about it.
You were saying the Christians, like who, these people in Nicaea, did they call themselves Christians?
No, not necessarily.
Not necessarily. Why did they have to deal with the writings of the Bible?
They had to decide what was going to be included, because this was what was going to set up the flow from this point forward.
And it would be, that was the beginning of the Christian church?
That's what closed the canon of what was included in the Holy Scriptures.
Right, and those who were taking these scriptures seriously were called Christians, right? Council of Nicaea, you just said, weren't Christians, but maybe you meant that spiritually. But were they technically Christians, nominally Christians?
Well, we would say no, Bob, because you had all kinds of sects that were represented on the Council of Nicaea.
So this was like a Senate?
Something
you were elected?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm sure there was a lot more Jews than there were Christians.
All right, let's leave it at that, because I was talking about the coincidence, the timing of this Christian paranoia about the end times happening right when there is an interesting end of a cycle, end of a season.
Yeah, but they don't set it up that way. See, it was the end of times in World War II. It was the end of times with the Black Death. And it was the end of times. Jesus was going to be here day after next, last Tuesday.
They keep adapting
they've been talking about this for forever, ever, ever, ever. What do you call those people, the soothsayers that would say the end of time is 1800s and then 1900s and then every other day? You called them something not too long ago. This is your quiz, if you remember.
Well, they're psychic fraudulent prophets.
Yeah, but they were known as a hype.
In the Christian church?
Uh-huh. Sort of from the Puritan realm.
Well, Herbert W. Armstrong, I mean, the Puritans, the Calvinists?
The Calvinist is one, yes. There was another.
Oh, yeah, the Redentist or something.
That's close.
Yeah. Dispensationalists.
Dispensationalism.
Yeah.
That's where it all went awry. That's when you started the rupture. Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry.
The rapture.
Maybe it was a rupture. Sounds more like a rupture than a rapture, but regardless, that dynamic is not in your scriptures, even from Nicaea.
Right, and
that becomes...
That's a product of the dark ages of the printing press. That nobody...
Correct.
Yeah.
That you're not... For these scriptures that you're not supposed to change.
Right. And so once they had the printing press, then they... So the dispensationalism has been around before the telegraph?
1880.
Oh, okay. That's about it. All right. So, that's a sign that has nothing to do with the cycle the Mayans noticed and the Hopi noticed.
It has nothing to do with Christian church either.
Right.
But is.
You mean Jesus?
Everybody's scared to death to be left behind. Oh Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, but don't leave me behind. Oh, Jesus, I love you. You gave your only begotten Son, And so Jesus has got to love me no matter what. Well, that sucks. Who wants somebody to love you because they have to? I love you because I take pity on you. Well, how does that work? How does that bring you forth into a relationship with God?
Okay, we don't need to go into that. I understand that.
But it's so good for your recording because it cleans up so much of the issue with why your church is having such a hard time. You're not meeting the needs of the non-physical within your parish, within your churches. You're not serving your constituency. And when that happens, then people, creators, through contrast, will find another way.
Yes, and
the other way happens to be this thing that you've summoned forth, how ionically.
Yes, the other way is...
I guess it would be however ionically.
Okay, the 2 points. I want to talk about the person I saw in the walk today. I want to talk about the four...
Don't
don't say anything. I don't want to get into it yet. The four quadrants, the four chambers, the four eras, and then what you just said, iondom. Okay, so the four, you know, the Greek had four phases, gold and silver, brass and iron or something, bronze. This four phases. The Hopi saw that there was everything was great, and then there was no more. What caused the end of the first phase?
Don't know. They don't list it that way. How they list it is a season. But there are four seasons.
Oh, they don't mean 12 months. They mean huge time span.
They mean you have a civilization. It's extinct. There's another civilization. It's extinct. There's another civilization. And now we're finishing up the third, fixing to begin the fourth. Now, the Hopi Indians say that there's only four. Now, did they say that that's the end of time? No. They said there's four sections of seasons, and then it's a replication, basically. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. Now, you've heard that once. It's like your old-timey foxtrot, isn't it, now?
Yes.
So... it's not about that there is not there. There's no five, so therefore it's over. No, once you get through with four, you go back to one and begin again.
Yeah, because four gets pretty good. Gets into iondom.
But then,
then you have heaven on earth, but you somehow shift and you start over again.
But
you don't have to.
You do. Well, but see, the point is that because there's only 13,000 years written down, that it's over. Well, that section is over, but that's not the end.
Oh.
That's just where you start counting again.
All right, so wait, are you saying the four seasons are in the 13,000-year cycle? I see. So that they divide the 13,000 years into four seasons, four parts.
That's right. But they're not the only ones. You have the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Yep.
You have four chambers in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You have the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You have four as far as your Advent, the season of Advent.
Mm-hmm.
Four replicates itself over and over and over again. Even the Buddhists have the four sections and different quatrains that were divided into four sections. You have many things have four arenas.
That's right. Even awareness had Rai, Eloi, Tu, and Lofty.
There you go.
But now that's the 42. You got the four, and then you got two worlds.
Right. Good.
That's what 42 means, you know?
Yeah.
The secret to life.
And four is A is to B, is C is to D. That includes the ratio of ratios, the doctrine of proportion, proportional stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's maybe rhythm, like you said, one, two, three, four. Okay, so you have the four, and that's technically, it's usually the Tibetans and the, like, didn't the Hindus have the Kali, those four yugas? Kali, yeah, they had the four yugas.
Kali, yes.
Yeah, they had four phases. The more knowing cultures understood it was within a span of 13,000 years, correct?
Correct.
So we've come to the end. So that's about 2,500 years, 2.8, you know, something like 1,000 years four times. If we map it on dog years, is it actually, it's not really 13,000 dog years, is it? It might not be that long.
We don't know. We don't know, Bob. We just see that's the whole thing. It's so funny that the humans have figured this all out, but they don't even know where they started counting from. Well, how do you validate how many minutes it's been? How long has time been? Nobody was there to mark it to start. Mm-hmm. Well, then who's going to be there to mark it when it's over? Because when it's over, who's going to... If it's over, how are you going to stop the clock?
That's right.
Ion?
So, yes, D-mute, my love. But yes.
Yeah. With the Hopi and them going into their fourth season now, is there some way of drawing an equivalence? Like if it's 13,000 and 13,000, wouldn't it to be associated, wouldn't the Hopi be entering their third season now, like half of the four seasons?
No, see, they didn't know it. Nobody told them.
Yeah.
26,000 years.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that number's not even exact. It's 25,648 or 38 or 68 or market.
Right.
But it's not even, that's not even exact. They just kind of make it to make the numbers work.
Right.
For half of the cycle. See, the Hopi weren't interested in that. They just knew their rise and fall, and their belief system allowed for four generations, four cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't say that's the end, because there's a man after that fourth cycle.
Bob, you have to mute.
Yeah, go ahead.
There is a man in the fourth cycle.
There is a band? I'm sorry, I missed
man,
that.
A man. See, they draw these very simply as just, you have a civilization that's a man in that season, and then they stack them, there's four. But then after the fourth one, distantly not attached to that, there's another man, but he's different colored, he's a different way, it's a different thing. That's just starting over the one process again. It's what it means, but they humans get a hold of it and turn it into, it's over.
Yeah.
Did you say there was a man identify a symbol man for each phase?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's how you know there were. That's how you can know there were four runs at it.
Bob, please mute.
Yeah. More.
Don't say yes and not do it.
I didn't mute. I'm coming back up. Four. What did you say? Four runs at it. Is that what you said, Aya?
Yeah.
Four runs at it. So you have this pretty nice scene in the beginning phase, then it's the same as a Hindu. It goes to a different quality. For most people, it might be considered it goes down.
Well, that's relative. See, that's relative. Mm. How hot is the sauce, Bob? You don't know. Because you can't even describe how hot it is, because, no, that's hot. It burns my level. It burns my mouth. It burns me up. It's more than I can take. It's over. Well, for somebody else, that same hotness will begin. No, that's just a delicious flavor. So you don't even know how hot the pepper sauce is. So how are you going to judge of how your worlds are going when you don't even know how to describe accurately how salty something is?
Yeah, so when Aristotle...
Well, it is salty, but it may not be too salty for someone else.
When Aristotle wrote down the qualities, started categorizing things, actually nobody...
Standard of care. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, standard, and came in with the alphabet. And the writing of Greek culture, but you can see that nobody knew what hot was because everybody's the individual, and there was no point even bringing it up.
And precisely. The same way that you could have intercourse, relations. Well, this is appropriate and this is not appropriate. Well, wait a second. That's not how they gauge it. That's not how that works, you see. That's not how it even applies. That's not even in the process. Just because you're prudish doesn't mean that someone else's experience can't go further than you allow.
Mm.
When the dynamic of how you're working yourself in this process limits your own ability to enjoy and embrace the full body concept of this becoming one, you see. J.W.'s wife, she has the best saying of all about it. Folks will be along in a small town. They'll be in your business. Don't you worry.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll always have some adjective or description of telling you what you should be doing, how to live your life and how to run it. And she's very quick to tell them quick, fast. She doesn't mind telling them plain. She says, well, I'm the wife, and if I don't mind, why should you?
Yes.
It doesn't bother me. What makes you think you're going to have any say in this process? If I'm okay with it, you're not going to change my husband's mind. If I'm okay with it, it's going to be okay. That's what you need to know in the process. So, and then that's exactly right. See, it's relative. It's relative. So, very good. Very good. Okay, we got to let you ask questions, otherwise we leave the witness.
We leave the what? The witness?
Leave the witness.
The witness, right, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
we're desperate trying to taste stuff.
Yeah, now here...
If you ask, you ain't going to get it. So we might as well just simmer down and take it as it comes.
Is there something... You know, humans like to find things are the same, so we found that the four is the same structure. It does... To know anything, it has to relate to something else. It has to relate to something else, because this is only this in relation to that. So you've got two things.
Right. That's right. That's exactly right.
Right.
How hot is the water? How hot is the pepper sauce? How salty is salt?
So you have that two-ness, and then you have another two-ness, because another world comes in and maybe... It judges, like Carol will judge the two, the hot and cold within her universe, and I judge it. So you got two. So the basic interplay
you
between
judge
people.
If I ask her what it is, so.
Yeah, but you know, I'm cheating her. I don't know, but I still got it. I'm still a good dancer.
You don't got it, you get it.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I have to provide it, but I don't got it, I get it. I interpret getting it in a new way, Taylor. Have you got it? Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I get it.
But Carolyn, do we get it? Yes, Bob, we get it. Oh, okay, great. We got it. We got it. Hooray. Carolyn, you gave us the word.
Okay, so you have the two-ness in Carolyn, the two-ness in me, and the interaction of that, the dancing.
Well, no, Carolyn's complete. Well, she's just being patient with us.
So you have the two and the two. And the dancing between them is the basic fourness. You see, that's the beginning. The consciousness doesn't begin with one, Carolyn. It begins with four.
Correct.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because four is a beginning point.
And it's soft. And even then, there's much information that we're giving here. But still, at the end of the day, the whole business of this interaction is only... to recognize you have a physical. What if you had only non-physical and we had to convince you that you had a physical?
Yeah.
Literally. Now, wouldn't that be cheeky fun? We must tell you, you have flesh and blood. What? You have flesh and blood. That blood flows. You have a cellular basis of a dirt-based carbon life form. And you grow things. And gravity works on things. Seeing things sag or they don't. You have muscle structure. You have a mind. You have a microprocessor that even affects even the dynamic of how the chemicals are balanced in this meat sack. And you go, get out of here. What the hell are you talking about? You mean we break food down, sieve it through something, get goody out of it, and then let it go? After we've gotten the good out of it, that sounds silly. Why wouldn't we just keep it and eat less? Well, you see, if we did it that way, you'd go, and I wait, that's just silly. But we'd have a much harder time, you human marvelous creators, we'd have a much more difficult time proving to you that there was a physical you than we would have convincing you that there's a non-physical part that's attached to you. Everybody resonates with that. Well, I'm alive because I still have my spirit.
Right.
Because I'm not dead. Well, but some people have lost their spirit and they're still alive. Then they laughingly, jokingly say, oh, well, they're just dead. They're just waiting on a disease to claim the body.
So the mixing it up, it is actually, everybody comes here and gets it upside down on purpose, though, to mix it up. And
well, if they don't start at 6 o'clock when they arrive, sometimes they may think they're upside down. So that's why we always start upside down. So then you have a perspective to see how salty or hot, spicy it is. So then you can know. And if you start it off that way, then you have something to parallel it to. Parallel it to. Something parallel, equidistant, the same.
That's the tunist. You got to have two of everything. So the when we first, if there was a beginning count, people came into this world. This world was manifested, created, and we came into it. And some came in upside down, and we never recovered from the difference.
Well, once they came in feet first, and then when they arrived, then that turned them upside down.
Mm.
That's about the same. That's about as much. There's as much validity there is that we talk about the shifting of the poles, the polar axis flipping. That's okay. That's okay. It's like at 6, they came in at 12 o'clock and then they went to 6 o'clock and they were upside down.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the same problem. If you look in the mirror from your eyes, it's reversed, and then we say point to that side. And if you're not looking in the mirror, you'll point to the wrong side. Your mind can't even differentiate between refraction and reflection.
Right. Now here's a good idea, useful idea. Since we didn't know and don't know what time it actually is, we don't know that this is the end of the 13,000-year cycle.
Yeah, who was there?
The Mayans made a lucky guess, and we happened to find out this
they
time.
They just started somewhere and started marking it. Might have been 13,000 days.
Yeah, the Mayan calendar doesn't say there's any changes.
It doesn't say there's any time.
Yeah, so all this changing that's happening is not in the Mayan calendar. There is a suggestion of change in the Hopi phase, but the...
Well, no, we're just different quadrants that's divided by.
Yeah, so what I'm saying
don't
is that...
say how long it is.
What has actually happened is the veil is thinning right now.
Yes. Yes, first time of this one, not the fourth time, first time.
This is the first time the veil is thinning.
Yes.
Well, we've heard that.
Not the fourth time, there are other kinds of changes.
There are other kind of shifts, but no, this is...
But now here's
getting
the,
ready for afterbirth now, Bob, the baby's born.
Okay, so what's interesting is, that is the fact now, and we don't know why it's now, but it is now, it's happening now, and our calibrations never anticipate.
You're creating it.
We're creating it, and you could make up different reasons why we're creating it. But the thing is...
Well, you're always looking for a reason. Oh, wait, we've done that already.
We do have the Christian second coming, or the end times.
Jewish first coming, and the Buddhist overcoming, and wait.
Right. And the Hopi new man. But here's the thing.
And the deist uncoming, it's everything a rabbit can do to a stump. It can go aboard, about, above, across, after, against, along, amid, among. It can do all them prepositions, and then it has to have an object of the preposition. So your language is just an anomaly waiting to unfold.
I have the Extropians all happy to go cyborgian.
I'm calling the cyborgians, yeah.
But here's the thing. It is actually...
Resistance is futile.
Yeah, I mean, somebody could... If Ion were announcing...
Did you get that? Resistance is futile. It really, really is. Resistance is futile.
Right. No, I got that.
Good.
So here, we're announcing that the veil's thinning, and different cultures would put in their terms... And
yes, but now first, you get that far, you're right.
No, but don't interpret so quickly. Let me just try to say this point. Ignore me for a minute. This guy just get this on tape. Okay, so.
Oh, that's true. We're trying to clean up the record. Okay.
No redaction, proceed. Yeah, no redaction. It's interesting that the Christians... Right now is this change, which nobody knows what time it is, really. It's happening now. And
right.
It just happens that some of the cultural content happens to be Christian, which says, oh, these are the end times. But their meaning of the end times is not the Ionic announcement.
Correct.
You know,
very good. So not, there's nothing to push against.
Yeah.
We Christians. We love everybody.
Right, but the real...
That's what Jesus...
Hey, you're redacting. Stop redacting. Now, listen, let me just say this. The point is that... There's actually something happening right now, and everybody in their culture and frameworks would be shocked at what was actually happening now.
Hey, well, they are being shocked. They're being astounded.
Yes, they
even
are being...
They are being astounded
right.
by themselves.
That's right, because they're bringing their cultural frameworks and looking at it, and it's not jiving with what they thought
they're
was good time it is.
They're taking themselves too seriously. And
yeah, yeah. So the thing that's happening right now is happening, and we're telling them, but it ain't in any... See, you're not holding back. You're commenting. Even by laughing, that's commentary. But the,
sorry.
Yeah, yeah, hold that, hold that. The trying to tell, I'll talk to you, Carol, okay? Just leave my head on this for a minute. The,
Bob, the heavens are rejoicing. When human consciousness...
Oh, no. Yeah, don't... Yeah, off on another end. Hold on, I haven't even got the sentence on. I'm trying to say, you'll like this. You're going to like this, Ion. Sounds familiar? You're going to like this. Okay, Carol. We're the only people in the world who know what actually is going on the deepest level, and we go out and announce it, and then it's filtered through all the different cultural memes who say, you mean it's the end times, or it's the fourth Cali, or, you know, all the different, no, it's none of that, no, none of it. And it just happened to be happening now. That's what's interesting, it's happening now. All right, you can correct me now. No correction.
Here's what's hysterical, and why we were laughing and just about to fall out of ourselves, and JW's about to jump off the porch, it's going to get ugly here pretty quickly, is, yes, you and Carolyn are getting it, and you're also the only ones on the planet who could care less.
Oh, good point. No one else cares.
It's like, we got it. What were we looking for? We got the answer. Great. What was that question? I forgot my question. Here I got the answer to all answers, and I don't know what the question was.
Oh, no, but we do. Okay. No, but because we're the only ones who care, we created it. We received it.
Very good. By seeking it.
Yeah, we saw it. There might be a few others, but they didn't show up.
There are. Because, see, non-physical is speaking to everybody. Mm. And some are in tune with that, and they're starting to figure it out. They're starting to come into this notion that they are indeed as powerful, so much so that your government starts to become afraid of you.
Mm.
So much so that these other dynamics, see, what every culture or in your culture, you have what they call a subculture.
Mm.
Well, that's what everybody's afraid of. Everybody's afraid of a terrorist. Why should you be afraid of a terrorist? Because they've come into their power, and they know there's nothing they can do with them. They can come into and blow up subways, and blow up people, and blow up buildings. And we have to be in abject fear because oh my God, these human creators are coming into their notion that they're powerful, that they can take on a little bitty nothing, something, sand. Well, we can't say that on the tape, but different cultures, that they can take over the United States. We're the superpower. How can, you know, it's kind of like you watch an ant come through and a termite can come through and knock the biggest building down ever, and the termite's tiny. It's like, well, this, thanks for the fish, this wood is good as any, we'll eat your wood. Or there'll be a building right next to it, they'll leave alone and they won't touch it no matter what. But the least are coming in the place of their power. And that's wonderful, because then it makes you question everything. Maybe you're not. Maybe that organized capitalism is not the answer. Well, yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's the answer. And then we'd say, great, how's it working for you? Well, so far, we've built a superpower, and then we took all of its power away, and now we're frustrated because we're powerless, and there are no houses. Oh, yes, there are. Well, there is no money. Oh, yes, there are. All the wrong people have all the money. Them drug dealers, they got all the money. No, it's not them drug dealers. Nobody's taking drugs anymore. They can't afford them, so they're not taking drugs. It's them oil companies. They're sucking the life out of us. That's it. No. It's them supermarket. It's the Walmart. Walmart's doing it. Costco.
No,
it's them superstores. They're taking us. They control us. We are limited only to what they provide, and then we have to pay their price. With money that we don't have, with an economy that's not working, with the creators that aren't creating. And then we get crossways of that, and then the next thing you know, the little fellow says, you sons of bitches, we will see your blood run in the valley of Armageddon. And then they go, uh-oh, I saw that in the Bible. Oh, no. Margie, I told you it was over. We'd hoped for so much more. What is it all? But
well, you forgot to mention it because that's that 418 group, man. That 418 group, that secret council 10, man.
They're in charge, and then they're like, well, this is a fine mess you've got us into now.
Yeah, then they
control everything, and now we got to feed them.
Okay, the
our slaves won't eat their own groceries anymore.
The slaves what?
The slaves won't even provide their own groceries anymore.
Okay, but the 14 group set up 911, and they were doing it for their reasons because they were fearful of the economy in their terms collapsing, so they had to get rid of the evidence that it had collapsed. But there was a side effect of the whole thing that made even the 418 group and everybody else in government who were in on the 418 group afraid of something, right? You got the government afraid of the people afraid of the government. Everybody's afraid of each other.
Well, the people aren't getting so afraid of the government anymore. They're living in a place where they're like, well, you know what? The last thing you promised us didn't come true. The other thing you promised us didn't come true. Now, we're supposed to support you. We support you so you can have power over us. We're confused. Now, how does this work now? I support you as a candidate, and you become in power so you can do me in. Well, what kind of sense does that make?
Okay, so just that.
Now, think about that now. Now, that'll hit you about 3 o'clock in the morning. You're kind of going, my God, well, yeah, this is amazing.
Well, Ken and I knew that. We've never voted. We never participated in anything. But we lived. What are you doing, John? You're always looking at something else. What are you looking at in the computer? Are you living anywhere near us?
Yeah, I'm in close proximity.
What are you looking at?
Never mind.
Okay. Listen to this, Karen. So I am. We got that. That was a good little phase. We'll come back to that. But I'm walking home on the walkway today, Karen. And you know where the little burial site is?
Mm-hmm.
The second loop coming away from the beach?
Mm-hmm.
No. It's where the tree is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as you cover up the final term. There's this funny
after
little man.
What? After your post, Karen.
No. This is before the post. As we're leaving the beach coming back home, it's before you get to the post.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tree out in the bluff after you pass the canteen.
I got it.
I noticed a couple walks by and they had a daughter. And the daughter was looking around and was smiling. But I didn't know what she was smiling at. Then I looked over at my right. And there was a strange being sitting there. A beaming guy, beaming at me. He looked like a Tibetan or something.
Uh-huh.
But he had a t-shirt on and funny big shaped, funny shaped head. And he's beaming at me, so I look away and I look back. He's still beaming at me. And as I walk around and I'm now sort of starting to move away from him, I look back one more time and he goes, handsome. He goes, he's mouthing things at me. I go, what? And he's saying, and eventually I realize, he said, you're handsome. And he had a gay aspect or something about him. So he was really, it seemed to me, he's coming on, and I go, me handsome? And he goes, yeah. I go, damn right I'm handsome. I'm so handsome. I agree. So I marched on celebrating how handsome he was. But he was a weird guy. And then I thought, that was a parallel world guy. And actually, a different world guy was showing up there. Now, what the heck was that weird-looking guy? we request your comment, Ion.
Well. his name was John Walker.
The guy that, that's a guy who got arrested for terrorism, Carol. It's a name. John Walker was the guy who put this bomb in his foot? Or was the other guy arrested? Okay, sorry. Okay. Do you know who I mean, John Walker? There was someone who was busted as a terrorist, Carol.
No, never heard of him.
Okay. So, okay, John Walker, and where? Tell us some more about him, Ion.
Well, he's a transient that showed up in Maui on his way to Lahaina as the last resort.
Mm-hmm.
And was just enjoying the Maui afternoon.
Yeah. He could have been a transient. I agree. He could have been a homeless guy or whatever, transient. And
you don't have much of that. You have a little of that.
Yeah, but actually, we saw one the other day, and now he's the second one. But he was beaming, so he looked a little nutty. But he was not a parallel world traveler, or me being in another world seeing him. Right?
No.
Mm. Yeah, just in a local eccentric. All right, so that was that. Nothing too significant, but he was a very weird-looking guy, and he was going handsome. Now, did he mean by handsome he was wonder if I would sleep with him or something?
Or well, did he ask you to sleep with him?
Well, I'm wondering if the word if I had responded that I was handsome and fell for his seduction. or was he...
Well, but see how that works. That would be fine, and nobody would care. That would be okay. But your next response would be, oh, well, thanks very much for the offer. And I'm not quite sure if I sleep with men or not, but if you'll give me just a second, I'll go ask my wife, and she'll let me know if I do or not, and then I'll get back to you, and we'll see how this all works out. Because you see, you check with your wife first, because it's Carolyn. Do we sleep with men? Well, Carolyn will say, well, I do, Bob.
What did Carolyn say?
But I do.
Yeah, I do. I do, but not necessarily. You don't normally have engagement with other fellows, but... Mm. There was no connotation of that, because now if he'd have came on to you and said, you know, I want to have you, I want to bed you, or you bed me, or pitching and catching, we don't really even understand how this all works,
yeah.
But regardless, if that was the case, then you could have been brought to the sea of decision of saying, thank you very much, I appreciate it, and... Probably not, but thank you very much for asking. It's when people quit asking me to sleep with them is when I feel I have an issue that I have to deal with.
Yes.
But as long as they're asking, that's a good day, regardless of who it is. Doesn't mean you have to, you see. You know,
I got it.
You don't have to go to every party, but you start getting funny if they all stop inviting you.
That's right.
You start to get nervous.
Yeah. And he was an odd little character and nothing... otherworldly, just odd transient, and that was that, and he was just being friendly, saying handsome. He probably didn't even mean the sex thing, he just thought, what, his way of expressing friendliness to me. Okay, so that was that. Now, then the next...
Beach Bob probably might sleep with him, though, he could ask.
Okay, so you brought up the case or the phenomenon of apostles, and Carolyn didn't get to hear it, but the Iondom movement, and you were suggesting a few, but what was more would you say about it? I mean, that'll happen. Is that a problem? Are they...
No.
So why did you mention it?
Because you asked.
No, I never brought up the apostles, but I might have been asking
did.
Some... No, you... How did I do that?
You wanted to know how the pecking order of this thing was going to work. As it grows and matures and blossoms into this life's work for somebody, how is it going to be astounded beyond the place that catapulted to the place beyond where we are now?
Mm.
How does this work? How does it apply? Okay, we're writing all these books. Well, what is that going to do? Are people actually going to engage them? Or are we just doing this for our health? Or how does this all work? And you go, well, yes, indeed. And then it even goes into a larger dynamic of having priests within the eldership of this work of folks that get it. That's what every other religion is, Bob. If you could leave the dogma out of it and just get back to the rite of passage of learning how to love yourself. It's not even having to learn how to love your brother. You can't do it. If you can't love yourself, even the bums won't want to sleep with you, Bob.
Mm. Right, but that, I understand that, so... You're saying
well, you do, but so
you're saying there might be a non-dogmatic bureaucracy set up.
Oh, there not might be. There is a non-dogmatic place that some would attach as a grouping together. Well, isn't that what a religion is?
Hmm. But are you saying there would be priests?
Sure.
But it would be just like an army, a corporal. You've done this, you served that much.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Well,
join the Ionic movement because they're tired of people telling them what to do.
Okay, so I didn't know I brought up that thing yesterday, but that might have been my question.
Well, the dynamic. What would you like to know, or do you care?
Yeah, like I didn't bring up the word apostles. It didn't even occur to me. You did.
Bobby went through the pecking order to figure out that you're even involved in the whole corporation.
You're talking about
involved in that process.
Yeah, you're talking about a query I had over several days, questioning, right? Which you wouldn't see as days, just is. But in that particular point where you brought up the apostles, I wasn't consciously thinking of apostles or that aspect. But then it came out. So now you're pointing out the larger framework for it, wondering about what we are. And what is it about apostles? I've asked you to develop some more. That is an issue, a concern, or not a concern, or what is it? Why did you bring it up?
Because you wanted to know, but it matters not. It's just the dynamic that as it unfolds, how it all lays out. You're going to get to where you can't schedule everything and handle everything and do everything and be everything.
Mm, right.
And it's going to get larger than you. So much so that it just be, you know, you out of the 10,000 emails, you want to do 10. Okay? And then therefore you would need some apostolic guidance to do that sitting for you.
That's right. And Ion cannot service every person, so we're going to have...
Oh, sure we can. Sure we can. Sure we can, but that's not the point. The point is, if they interfere with your beach time or they do it before, 2 in the afternoon, that's too early. And then if they get too late, then it doesn't work there. So it becomes very limiting in the opportunities that are available. So now we'll service the world as long as it's from 6 to 1:30 in the morning, your time.
So you...
Other than that, it doesn't work.
Okay, I understand that. I knew that was coming. How are we going to fit everybody in? So we would have...
You danced right into that, didn't you?
I danced right into it, right. So Ion, JW requests me to be present. Are we going to get to the point where other people will substitute for Bob to protect JW from whatever Ion might rant on about?
No, not necessarily. No, Bob, our business isn't that hard. Our business is very easy. You have a physical, and you're trying to get them convinced in the notion that they have a non-physical.
Mm.
And through the labyrinth of their mind, they become an enlightened, off version of an ascended being.
Mm.
And once they become that way, then they'll start singing the mantra of Ion all day, every day. We wouldn't like it necessarily to be called the Ionic movement. We'd be the first church of non-physical. Okay? You know, the first church of non-physical. And then once that happens, they'll tell two friends and so on and so on and so on. And then it won't be long till we'll have to have an upper room, hopefully on the upper levels of that little island you live on, to have an upper room experience where you just have to talk about of what's going on here and how it applies there. And, you know, Sally figured out that she didn't have to be healed because she was tired of laying on the porch. And that Polly figures out that his cancer cells, he's more powerful than his... He that is in him is more powerful than he that is in the world.
Mm.
And then that ascension process comes in taking an effect. Then you don't have to convince them. You know, they don't have to have a reading. They can just... play, and then live and thrive. And once that happens, then they're only going to want to resonate and be around folks that are also in the ascension or ascended process.
Right.
And then what happens is it goes on to a point where it becomes they want to have a supper club for saints.
Mm.
The ascension club. The Mile High Club. Oh, wait, that's a different part.
No, the jumping off the Mayan platform with Bob Club.
Okay.
Going into the black hole and returning club.
Yeah, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, bye-bye, I'll fly away. so that's okay. And there won't be all the degradation and the problems and the bullshit that comes with the less than, because we're more extended than you.
Mm.
We're more saved than you are lost.
There will actually be.
But that's not what, how that works at all, is it?
No.
But that's how they. That's what they've turned it into.
Right. It's almost like we have a movement that denies it could tell how well we're doing.
Well,
because we wouldn't know who's ascended or not.
Well, yes, you will. You'll know.
We'll assume everybody's ascended.
Sorry?
We'll assume everybody's ascended.
No, you just won't care. But the rest of the ones, you know how to know, you know how to know, you know how you'll know the ones I'm an ascended?
Okay.
Is they'll be measuring the movement. Okay? Their bowels will move, and they'll measure how much their bowels move, and then they'll figure out how close they are to ascension or not. But those ascended ones know that's just a biological function that he is, and they won't give any regard regarding it. Their questions will become less cheeky, or either that are more cheeky and lead more towards fun, you see. So it's going to be, and that's a given. And if it's not, then the contract is going to get to such a degree that they're going to choose it regardless.
Okay, it's going to be meaning the Ionic movement. I think that's what you meant, right?
Yeah.
And then you said, if it isn't, they're going to make it happen anyways. Is that what you said?
Yes, because the contract will get so burdensome that they're looking for a reason, and they'll find one. Well, all we're doing is providing this, and here's the one answer. It always applies every single time without fail or exception. Our business is about joining the physical and the non-physical through the labyrinth of the mind, so you become as one. When you become as one, then you have all knowing, you have all power, you have all creation. You're the center of your universe, and don't give a crap what everybody else thinks about you and you. Okay? Then your business is about learning how to love yourself, accept yourself, to play with yourself, to enjoy your own self. Then when the second that happens, then you find out that everybody wants to play with you, and it becomes a delicious repose.
Yeah, now...
Very fabulous.
Yeah, so...
You're foolish to think that if you don't create a place for them to enjoy and play and be, then there's big trouble in Little City, because then they'll be out on their own, disconnected from their own self. Because the non-physical that's in you resonates with the non-physical that's in JW, that's in Carolyn, that's in Barbara Ann, oh, and even Nancy.
Okay, but
it applies, and that's where you can come back to the place, well, I don't understand you, but it's not my job to understand you. I love me so much that I can also love you.
Okay, I got that. I wanted to, at this point...
Oh, and by the way, you're really handsome, Bob.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that in a while.
No,
I never hear it from Ronnie.
Honey, you better tighten up, honey.
The wandering eye, the feel of
the
black.
The wandering eyes, now the fellows are starting to notice the sharpness of your boarded stud.
What did you say? The what we're noticing? The who? The homeless?
The flamers.
Yeah, the flamers.
The flamers. We're noticing the briskness of your boarded stud.
Okay, looking for a reason. What?
We didn't mean to distract.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You always distract me, but it's okay. I got a good memory. I get back to it. They're looking for a reason. There was art as a reason. There was science as a reason. There was media as a reason. There was religion as a reason. All these cultural phases of people thinking that was a reason. I like the fact that the Ion point sort of sums up all the inspirations of all those other separate things and puts together to the simplest statement, but the most comprehensive, and we'll actually have a public expression of what what art was groping for, what science was groping for, what media was groping for. That's what I see Ion doing, so I take that McLuhan statement. At electric information speeds, art, science, and nature converge. or even art, science, and nature, and media converge through understanding media. The understanding media becomes through the ionic movement. So we're at, so this would be a beginning point because we come back to what the only thing that ever worked, right? So this, and it's never been stated clearly or had the opportunity to be said to so many people as today.
Without all the crap.
Yeah.
See, it's been said 10,000 million times. 10 million times. If they get just to the crux of it, just to the money shot, just to the good part, okay? And then they go, never mind. Or it only works sometimes. Or you didn't believe enough. Or you really didn't have Jesus in your heart. Or you really pissed off Buddha, so you're on your own. Or you didn't meet the calibers of the ascension process. You weren't worthy. Well, then guess what? Sometimes you do that to yourself. Poor Moses got caught in that same little centrifuge that got him spun out of shape as well. So, then that's okay, because, you know, it is what it is, and that's not a problem. But the empirical reference becomes, how are you doing with it? How's it working for you? Well, great, or shitty, or I don't know, or I didn't care anyway, I'm happy. And then you go, well, wait a second, so you're meaning to say that it's more important for you to be happy than it is for you to be right? And they say, well, absolutely. Is there another way to do it? I can't run the world. I don't care to. It's not my responsibility. Hey, it's no my job, man. It's no my job. No my job. No my job. No my job. Well, no, my job is a great topical application that soothes a lot of your ills.
Mm.
You see. Well, what about that? It's no, my job, man. I'm non-physical. It's not my job to tell you about them. You figure that out yourself. Ask them. You were in there cuddling, making googly eyes at the homosexual one, and you asked him what his intentions were. So if that's the case, ask them, see? Then in that power place, then you're kind of like going, thanks very much. It's very nice to meet you. Blah, 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 blah. I'd love to enjoy sleeping with you. However, I think I'll ask my wife first and see what she thinks. And, you know, maybe you can come and live with us. It'll be very nice, but we'll check with her. And then after a little while, it's kind of like, wait a minute. Why is that your, you know, my job, man? Man, this smile, hi, thank you. I'm not interested in sex. I'm only interested in Snicker bars. So if you can provide Snicker bars, we could have a long-lasting relationship. But however, that's not in my field or focused view that I'm enjoying right this moment. And they'd say, okay, that's very nice. Thank you. You're still very handsome. And you go, thank you. I understand that. And I'm glad you recognize it because everybody should. So, yeah.
Okay, so the ion's coming up.
Cheeky enough for you?
Yep. I mean, ion's coming up with the best reason for those who are looking for a reason. So then it's comprehensive reason, and then people are attracted to it. And you were saying an apostle might be someone who wants to work with us, hang out with us. And we say,
absolutely, well, love to play. They want to play. They want to play. Then they may have a stunning question of the day. All right? Well, then that moves to the front of the line. And when you get 10,000 emails and somebody says, oh, look at this one, look at this one, look at this one, this is new, this one's new, this one's new. Then great. And then you read the question and it says, Ion, the most pressing question that we have of the century is, when am I going to find my man? Or how am I going to pay for my vasectomy? Or how am I going to grow hair or not grow hair or whatever the new.
And I'd say, not my job, man.
Well,
it's Ion's job. Okay, Ion, come on in. But what does Ion do when, you know, you only do 10 readings a day. Are we going to develop other channels?
You certainly could. You certainly could. You absolutely certainly could. But I think the work will be much more embraceable or broachable once it becomes topically soothing, where it becomes a solution-oriented candor, if that's the word you'd like to use.
Yeah.
Then what happens is we might even come to a place where they have a question that they send in.
Right.
And then it becomes in a bank situation where all the words are listed.
Mm.
And when Carolyn gets her stenographer that can take the words down just as they are, and not have to sift them and put it into a bank of listings, and then you can charge them just like the Google Word. And if they want to know about something, type in the word, and it takes them to where it is in that script. And those references and inferences regarding it. So then those words, they're not perfect words. Well, hell yes, they are. They're very marvelous words. They can apply them to their own place of well-being.
Okay, now here's a question. That's good. That's like high tech. We'll be able to have the Android beam working for us.
But as long as your plastic body holds out.
Yeah. No one will know that JW is the owner. It's just, he's just the guy who does it. Yeah, he's not the owner or anything. So when I was saying the other day that if this be, see, people are looking, money is time is community. And money and time don't work as community anymore, so people are looking for community.
It never has worked.
Well, right, but, you know, it's never has. But anyways, community is a reason. People gather around a reason that forms community, which is what you were just saying. People want to hang around the non-physical ionics. So the economy, since nobody trusts anybody, there's no community. So we're looking for a way to create a new community. So Ion will create a new community that could become incredibly treasured, thrown at it, just so
prolific.
Prolifically want to line up. And then that's where you're saying that people come around to me and Carol and say, well, you seem to be the guys who were here first. You probably own this thing. Here, I want to give you $4 trillion so that I can be in your position. That'll be part of what will throw at us as people. I guess the question is, it'll look so valuable, it'll be beyond treasure, gold, and all that, because this is actually works. And then the guys who want to be connected to what works and think they can own it and buy it will be trying to own it. That's the point you're saying, right? That's the warning, the suggestion, the inevitable that will come. Now, you just said no?
It's not a problem.
Mm.
And if they do, you can say, no thanks, money already flows pretty and easy to me. How can I help you, though?
Yeah. Look at Carol. That she cheers at that comment by Ion.
Right.
How can I help you? Yee-hoo!
Yeah, I'm already happy. Mm-hmm. Now, is this money supposed to make me happy? Well, great, guys, I'm already happy. No, we just want you to have it, okay? Okay, thank you, and you do understand that I may or may not have you for dinner. And they go, well, of course, you know, but now, I've done a lot for you, so I expect, and you go, there's the issue. I'm going to leave you and your money out of my conceptual view of my fastest path to my joy. And through discernment and much angst in my ascension process, I can see through you and your foolish attempt to force me to love you, which I can love you with or without your money. So you're not going to be any more or less important to me than you would be if you were just in your ascension process and started learning how to love and trust yourself. And when that be the case, then your source can start serving you well rather than limiting your power.
That was a good answer.
It would. Because if they've got to buy their seat at the kingdom, what happens if they run out of money? Then they lose their seat as the kingdom.
Yeah.
Damn, that sucks. You know, how are you going to do that? You can't. If that's what it's about, then it's kind of like, I don't have enough. You know, I don't have enough time to take your money.
Mm. So, but Ion, the phenomenon of Ion could take off because it would provide a reason / community.
Well, every question you haven't stumped us yet, Bob. Try as you might. We can't say you liked every one of the answers, but so far you've gotten an answer most every time.
Right. Which then comes to the next level. There is a mythic yearning, supposedly, for contact with
Carolyn, get those words. A mythical yearning. Very good. That's good. If that didn't make a topic somewhere, I would be very surprised. Mythical yearning, Carolyn.
I said.
Carolyn.
Bob said mythic yearning.
Yeah.
Well, I said mythical.
And I have the last word here.
So far. Carolyn, I'll have to do till you can do better.
Yeah.
Okay. Like Joseph Campbell said, that people are looking for a new myth. Now,
yeah, chicken. He wrote that book, Chicken Poop for the Soil.
No, it was called Mythology, I think. You know, Bill Moyer's interview.
It's called Chicken Soup for the Soul, but it's actually Chicken Poop for the Soil.
Mm, I know. But Joseph Campbell did not write that book. That was someone else.
Oh, no, you're right. That was the takeoff from the Canfield.
Yeah, right. Joseph Campbell, he sparked a lot of this stuff in 87.
Right.
When Bill Moyers did a long PBS interview with him, and he was a scholar. But the thing is, he said people are looking for a new myth, and of course, that means different things. But I think that ION is providing a comprehensive myth and giving the experience. So I was saying the mythic yearning for contact with extraterrestrial, I don't know when that started, but some transcendent being comes from another place that's going to save us. Yeah, that's going to save us. Or
Rod Sterling.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very impressive in its knowing. To me,
yeah,
we have images.
Quake things. And you can quake things. You can come into your power, your supernatural power, and they will stand in line to see your gadgetry, your wizardry,
That's right. They'll figure out, try to look at your gadgetry. So the dream for the UFO contact, and that it, the thing that would come, one of the particular visions, come and have ESP, it would know everything. Okay, we have images of what they come in, these disc-like vehicles, different images. Well, a smart person would know, well, we don't know how it'll show up, and we'll just enjoy it when it comes. But it could show up in the form of a medium, someone coming through JW, something coming through. I'm proposing that ION is the contact. And if this is the end of a cycle, beginning of a new thing, that's equal to the myth of the UFOs coming at the singularity time, or 2012 and all that. So ION showed up the right time.
Singularity would be a marvelous estate if all the non-physicals at one time got plugged in and turned on the power alone, just with three, just with Connie and you. And
JW.
Well, JW is very limited, of course. He's just coming into his basic, most basic understanding of this thing called living.
Yeah, there is discussion of cutting JW from the team as a too slack.
Oh, absolutely. That suit him. Yeah. That pays him well.
Yeah. He doesn't even know what time it is anymore.
He doesn't.
Okay, so anyways, we can...
And yet still find time to bitch about how the schedule goes, so go figure.
Okay, so you have... So we want to make I was talking to Bill Carolyn of the Chief Radio today. I phoned up to find out his version of events.
Oh, yeah.
And he couldn't say it, but I think he meant iTunes. He's negotiating with iTunes, who would then have his stuff available on iTunes. They've got iTunes Radio or something. So that hasn't been determined. That isn't definite yet. But he said we can have the 2 hours on Wednesday, and maybe not every week, and he's giving it to James for free right now. But he said
that... Well, this is his bread and butter. He should be paying him.
Who should be paying who?
Bill should be paying James.
Well, okay, so anyways...
Isn't that typically how that works?
Yeah, I mean, James pays Bill money because Bill provides an environment to communicate to nobody, and nobody's listening. Well, that's the ruse. Okay, so Bill said that he will put a notice on the site at the top talking about our Wednesday show, where we Like he said, you know what? I think people are interested if they had access to Ion, if they could ask questions. I said, that's exactly what we're providing, and that's what we want to do. So we need to compose one sentence for Bill's blurb. We'll make a longer one for James's own website. But so right now, Carol, could you and Ion, let's think of a one sentence and bring in access to future terrestrial FT. Do you have a sentence that would announce what's going to happen on Wednesday, what's potentially happening? Do you have some suggestions, Ion?
Tune in Wednesday for your private session with non-physical.
That's good. But can we throw in an ET, an FT, exaggerated statement to just attract attention a bit?
Well, leave the non-physical so you're generic enough so that you don't spook off the flaky ones. Mm. That's a good audience base. But then
with non-physical, your guide to...
future terrestrial.
Yeah.
No, to non-physical, sometimes called a future terrestrial.
Well, but that gets kind of glib. You got to make it catchier than that. Mm. If you're non-physical, you ought to do it better than that, Bob. let's see.
What do you call a frequency terrestrial?
That's good. She's waking up now. That's good. let's
with
see.
Non-physical, your frequency terrestrial. Nah.
No, no, no. Your source. In the extraterrestrial world of now.
Mm-hmm. Good. Mm-hmm. You type all that out, Kim?
Of course.
And what is the first
part? Course.
Of course.
Mute. Oh.
Tune in Wednesday for your private session with non-physical, comma, your source in the extraterrestrial world of now.
Very good.
And that's short enough and simple enough and makes you question enough that you'll bring out some of the fun ones.
Yeah, so could you email that to me, Kim?
Of course.
All right.
Y'all are so funny with your chip bodies. You're looking at each other and having to send it via around the globe to each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Carolyn, could you sharpen my pencil so I could hit send on my computer and get it to you?
Okay, so I wanted to do that, and I'm back. Okay, so the Ionic movement is very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Can we call it something other than a movement? Because that could also be construed as
a bowel movement.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Experience.
Yeah.
The Ion experience.
Ionic.
The Ionic experience.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not pushing against anything, okay? Because that's the thing that really pisses most people off, is because, no, in order for me to be right, you have to be wrong.
Mm.
And we go, okay, we don't mind being wrong, because we'd much rather be happy than right. But see, you start undoing it, every time you untie your shoelaces, now, Bob, those are the things that goes on your shoes. People used to use them all the time.
Yep.
You don't know that, but...
I remember.
Every time, there's not one time that you untie your shoelaces that they weren't tied. Well, if your shoelaces are untied, you cannot untie them.
Right. If they're untied.
Well, you say right, but that's probably the biggest thing that we've said in a very long time. People are all upset because their shoes aren't tied and they can't untie them.
Yeah, you can't.
And they're pretty pissed off about it.
Yeah, they can't make any transition.
I can't make any headway.
I can't
get ahead. I can't survive. I can't do it. I can't even untie my shoes. Well, dumbass, they're already untied. I know, but I like to untie my shoes. Okay, then tie them, and then you'll have a reason to be able to untie them so you can find your value and validity in this thing called living. And if that's what it's required, by all means, please, we'll give you a requiem of how to tie your shoes, how to tie your life up into the awfulest knot that you could ever get yourself into, you marvelous creator. Now, non-physical, would you tie our shoes for us? Hell no. Tie your own shoes. You're the one that wants them untied, so you tie them. You tie it so then you can untie it. But then if you're lost because you can't untie your shoes and you can't come to the knowledge that your shoes are already untied, then you kind of go, oh, never mind. I can do this. Then you've got something. Then you're working with something.
You
become the church of the recently untied.
Right. Now, I missed the last sentence. What was the statement that indicated that you were getting somewhere?
Then you're getting somewhere when you recognize that your shoes are... You don't have to untie your shoes to enjoy the shoes already being untied.
Okay, so I was just thinking that. You count?
Mm-hmm.
We will be, the Ionic experience will be a success for us if our life is not changed one bit from what we've been doing now. Right? Even though there's all this other activity, it still doesn't.
No, your mantra was, we can give you validatable, empirical, vindicated truth that this process indeed works. We just don't know and we don't care. It's working for us and we don't even know how.
We don't care.
And but we can give you emphasis for supplied. You know, we can give you all the details if you require them. And that's fine, and if that helps you, great. But, you know, we don't know, but it's working for us, so past that we're good.
Which is probably what I've said. Bob, how did all this anachrony happen to you? I don't know. It's a big mystery, but it's definitely happening.
But,
Kim?
It's fun.
It's fun. Exactly right. It's fun.
Yeah, awareness said that I'd be PR for the Servants Awareness Public Relations. Well, this was all building on, we had four phases, Cosmic Awareness, Seth.
This is the beginning of our fourth phase.
Fifth phase. Even though there is no fifth, so that's what we're beginning here.
No, you've gotten it back to the first thing.
Oh, yeah, we're back to first.
Oh, okay.
We've come back to cosmic awareness again. Where it said I'd be PR, it didn't indicate which phase I'd be PR, man.
So it truly is the end
of the beginning.
Of the beginning.
If this is new, it's a beginning.
It's the end of the beginning. Because now you can get to where you can apply it.
Right, okay. And that's the beginning of phase one again.
Mm-hmm.
Like this point about it being 1, 2, 3, 4, we wouldn't... Would you say that we can determine that we're in phase four in Hopi terms? Or is it not... The quality's not determinable, what phase we're at?
Correct. Well, yeah. Because we're not behind the preposition.
Did you say not behind?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you have this...
He drops you back into the same thing a rabbit can do to a stump. Then you have to have an object of the preposition, and then there's your problem, there's your conundrum, there's your anomaly, and that becomes issuing an issue in and of itself. So there you go. It's not about to limit... So if you have to have an object of the preposition, then we say forget the preposition. That's good. You fixed that right. Very dumped in that rabbit hole. You got right out of it, Bob. Good for you.
There was a blip that said recording a call. That meant someone phoned, I guess, and it went into record. I've never seen that before. It's just on the phone. But that meant someone was just phoning. Oh, that reminds me, Carol. There was a... Hey, Carolyn?
Yes.
There was a message for you on the voicemail of someone the other day. Some patient didn't get their stuff. I don't know if you've listened to the voicemail the last couple of days. Yeah, you might want
to. A couple of days, yes. She has listened the last couple of days, Bob.
No, sometimes.
Bob, just cut it out.
What? Jesus. What happened to her?
Damn it, Virginia.
She's on her period again. Okay. But Carolyn, no, I think it, I don't know if you addressed it. I just got a feeling about it this morning. It was there a couple of days ago.
He's got a feeling.
Yeah, I got a hunch. The non-physical joined in. Okay, so The ionic experience, that's good. And but what do you think of that statement that we are doing it?
You have a beat.
Yeah, it just started. I don't know.
We changed up, and somebody, that sounds like a battery low.
Yeah, it may start, but these batteries go a lot longer now.
Good.
Hey, Kel, is that yours? Is that yours, Carol? Oh, there it is again. Or is that yours, Ion?
No. JW changed them, so his is fresh.
Okay, I'm just letting it be for a little while. It's okay. So if I can hear it, it must be mine.
Well, we don't know.
Could it be?
We just know it's corrupting your recording.
Right. Now, Carolyn, are you hearing a beep? I'm going to have to go get her attention. Uh-oh. We'll come around again. We're going to have to go into trance again. Hiccups are coming. Oh, she didn't have the phone on. Hey, Carol. If I'm beeping... If when I'm beeping, can you hear it beeping?
I'm hearing it. Battery.
Well, we always hear the batteries beeping.
No.
Oh, on the tape. These go on the tape. Why is that? No, he always hears it. Anyways, so you have heard the beeping before. I'm just wondering if we were both listening.
I turned mine off.
Yeah, so it's mine. But if yours was on, could we tell? Could you, if it was mine beeping, would you hear it beeping? If you were, okay. There we have it, Ion. We redacted the whole session with that digression, but no one's going to hear this session. It's top secret planning.
At least till Tuesday. Anyway.
Okay, so.
Safe in the arms of Jesus until Wednesday at 9 o'clock Hawaii time.
Okay, so we're looking at...
What do you mean? I didn't understand that was redacted. What are you talking about? No, that was okay. That wasn't bad. I just said a little bit, and then I backed off on it.
No, I don't mean... I meant that I was corrupting the tape by having a beep on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, in corruption, yes. So it's good. It's Raylan sending her forces to see what infiltrates the cycle of what non-physical is.
And you're on to her. You know that she's going to go through something, or is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Her life has come to a eureka.
The impossible.
Okay, so the...
To live the impossible life, to be... possible dreamer.
Okay, so we're going to do this. I'm going to give you a topic to go on while I change. Here's the topic. The topic is Joyce...
How do we stop this damn beeping?
Oh, I'm going to do it while you go on about...
Oh, well, you're the creator. Very good. Yeah. Send us on a spur. We're ready.
Yeah. I have my notes. I was listening to the session number 30. And it came up, we were talking about Dante in the third circle, and that was Joyce's Raging Inferno. How many circles are there in Dante? And could you talk
about...
There's seven circles. And remember when you talked about the fourth ring in Finian's Wake? Does that match with the circle of Dante?
Yes.
All right, could you sort of just, while I change, you just sort of go through a bit of the map of the circles in Dante and the rings in Joyce and where they match or don't match.
Well, Joyce didn't even understand that, so we're not quite sure we're qualified, but we can tell you from Dante's experience,
okay,
the level and degrees of what you call Hades, or the less than, the hell.
Right.
See, Dante, you understand, was mad at the church.
Yes.
He actually did a better job of creating hell than Christ did.
I gotcha.
See, Jesus didn't speak much of hell. He didn't make a big do about it. It was just the less than place of not in paradise. Well, that's called contrast, isn't it? Well, but this is an eternal contrast. Well, we know now that that's not the case at all, you see.
Yeah.
Because, Bob, you are indeed the only hell your mother ever raised.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, in knowing that, then it comes into a new dynamic in Joyce's perception of trying to create the anomalistic, we're not sure if that's the word and we don't really care, but the anomaly, the anomalistic reach. Because he didn't arrive, but it was a reach. To try to explain the basic rounds of tactility and how the experience is expressed. How the experience is indeed expressed. And the variations, or we might call it variegations thereof. The circles, the lines, the linear path that Joyce was trying to construe into the works of Dante was drawing a mirrored parallel of how silly the whole process is. You see, I mean, then you become, why are we sitting on the levee waiting on the Robert E. Lee? Well, there's no better reason because, Finnegan's dead and we can't get there from now, so who's really going to win the war? Well, who's going to win the war has everything to do with who was at the wake. Well, who was at the wake? The ones that were sitting up with the dead. Well, why were they sitting up with the dead? What does that got to do with Mr. Wilkes and Gone with the Wind and Ashley and the whole process, you see? So it becomes what you... Have you been successful in your battery change yet?
Yes, hope you would. It has been. I changed it, and it's still blinking. Now the thing is, I put in the old kind, and
okay. Then it's a good time to do a segment of refreshment, and either you call JW right back, or we can call you right back.
I'll call you right back.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Hey, Carolyn, I put the white one in here,
uh-huh.
And it's still blinking. Those white ones aren't as good as the new black ones, maybe.
Well, here's my phone.
Oh, okay. All right, I will switch this. Thank you, because I want to use my headset. Do you want to just check? I guess we can. Do you know what? There was a woman who couldn't get her...
Fine, Bob, I'll deal with it.
Oh, okay.
Something I want on tape, for Pete's sake.
This tape is not going anywhere.
Look, just try to be professional.
No, because...
No.
No, it's not a problem if you're telling. I'm remembering to tell you.
Shh.
About that. But here's the thing. Yeah. But here's the thing. This tape ain't going anywhere. It's because it's all about us scheming about what we are. So that's why I know it's not. We can say it. I know what the tape is. I'm listening to tape more than you. Okay, so you want to check your stuff?
Okay, so Carolyn gave me her phone. May not be. No, why did you want to hang up?
If you cause the disconnect, you stop the beeping.
Well, it would have kept beeping. It was my phone. It's just
not necessarily.
Okay, so it was a disconnect, and so we don't know what the beeping was. All right.
Well, we kind of do. That's why we're not making good do about it.
Oh, I see. Okay. But, okay, so...
But in the past, historically, when the disconnection takes place, it disconnects the recording, and then they can tap in again, or you can proceed. It's okay with us.
You said they can tap in again. Who's they?
Rayland.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you mentioned that.
That's what that was girthing toward.
Ah, right, right.
Ion. I-O-N. Little I, capital O-N. Get the quote right.
Are you saying that Rayland is looking into us?
No, we're just being cheeky.
Yeah, but as a metaphor.
We're just remind them, since we had disconnect, that this is copywritten material and by New Grand View Incorporated. All rights are in eternally reserved. Emphasis applied.
What?
Emphasis applied.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Now, Dante was in a position... Oh, thank you. I'm so glad. That's great. This is much better now. See, Dante was trying to lay out the disconnection between the church, because he was a good Christian, but he'd kind of been spurned by the Holy Roman Catholic sect that was in...
Venice.
Sort of giving him the sticks about it a bit. So he went into this inferno, which... As you had
saying goodnight to Connie.
Oh, Connie, it's young. It's early. It's 4 o'clock.
Did you hear that, Joan?
Yeah.
Ion's pleading for you to stay up. Good night. No, she's going to bed. Okay, so let's try. This Dante thing keeps getting interrupted. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, so Dante, who was a little spurned by his Christian brothers in Christ, so much so that he thought, okay, well, if this is the spurning, if this is how it all works, then we need to see what we're being spurned regarding. So he builds all these. This is based on the same time that the indulgences were catching on, if you look at the empirical reference.
Yes, yeah, the 100 years before the plague. It's the time leading up to the plague and all that.
That is exactly
correct. And the printing press was happening then, too.
That's point, yes. And so it's like, well, if you want something to print, bless God, I'll give you something to print. and it's amazingly caught on. So what he created, just like Enoch's version of the layers and levels of heaven, which are, okay, because it was created, well, he said, well, great, we'll give you layers and tiers of the contrasting version of that, which would be what you can look forward to, you pious, hypocritical sons of bitches. You're so wonderful and you're so pious and you're so forgiven. If you slip just like Moses, then let me show you what you can look forward to by your various degrees of eternal suffering in the, quote, bottomless pit of fire. Now, James Joyce picked up on this and started making reference to this flame. You remember the flame that would carry through the whole process of the flame of who brought the fire and where is the fire? That's the points that we're trying to rekindle, this contrasting experience that he was trying to convey in the work Finnegan's Wake. Finneganese, I guess, is the right way to say that.
Yes.
That insert is not about the fire that was missing. It's the contrast of the layer that was corresponding to the ring that James was trying to protract within his compass of his work. Okay? Now, then do we lose you? Do we have you? Are you there? Are we good?
No, we need to go into this a little more.
Well, then let's don't... The Lord's suffering cats, just don't get you too far off the rabbit hole then. Ask your question.
Right. Just bring
James, Joyce, wrote Finnegan's Wake.
Okay,
Dante. Daniel Dante wrote Dante's Inferno. Yes.
Okay. You have Dante. He knew what Enoch had done. He said, nobody's done the levels of heaven, of hell.
No, he didn't do that at all. He was pissed at the Holy Roman Catholic Church. So he's like, well, if you're going to spurn me personally, then I'll show you what you, in your layers of heaven, the contrasting experience of the layers and degrees of hell.
Right, and the layers of heaven was known to be in the Bible via Enoch.
But it's not in the Bible.
Oh, okay. Well, where is it?
the Book of Enoch didn't make it from through the Council of Nicaea.
Did Joyce know about the Book of Enoch?
He did.
How would you have found out about it? Some quarters kept it around and told people?
Just like the Maccabees, just like stories of Lilith, just like answering some of the anomalous questions in your scriptures, like where did Cain go to get his wife if everything started with Adam and Eve?
Right, the Apocrypha. It's called the Apocrypha.
Apocrypha, yes.
Yeah, so he knew of Enoch, and he knew there was a level of heaven. I mean, Dante knew about the Book of Enoch.
Well, of course.
Right. So I'm just thinking, we got the levels of heaven. Enoch did that. I'm going to do the levels of hell in reaction to, and it's something hadn't been done before. So he did it. And then this really took off, and then everybody really got involved in hell. Because the church didn't teach that as much. What did they do? Talk about the levels of heaven before Dante emphasized that?
No, that wasn't in the scriptures either. So
what did the church emphasize before Dante?
That you're turn or burn, that you're going to be in this position of this falling into the category or the cataclysm of this positional, transitional position, that the Pope is the head of all, and if the Pope blesses you, then you're good, and if he doesn't, then you're screwed, and you can't get to heaven anyway if there's not a Holy Roman Catholic priest to give you last rites. Last rites, isn't that an interesting position? And through your 13 stages of the cross, and then you come back to the whole magic of this dynamic that you have to, if the Catholic Church doesn't usher your immortal, eternal, non-physical being, spirit man, doesn't usher it to its final destination, then it's lost. But they didn't necessarily say that it was just cast into hell. It was just not in heaven.
Right. So you have very involved terrestrial management of the transition. That's
the problem.
Yeah, and that was like a new version of the Ark of the Covenant. That was an imbued position they had.
So then Dante says, okay, you want to F with me? Okay, let's F it. You're in charge, so here's the deal. Here's how it works. You have levels and degrees of hell. And so you pious sons of bitches, we said that earlier, if you fall from your place of a destination vacation,
administrative level,
at a higher degree, here's where you fall in the schism of this eternal hellfire brimstone reality.
Right. So he threatened the managers, administrators of the transition with, if you screw up yourselves, this is where you'll end up. So he won up the administration of hell.
He did. And it caught on so much so that people knew more about hell than they did heaven.
They didn't know about that.
Including the preachers of the day.
Right, and knowing about heaven means knowing about the parallel worlds, correct?
No.
Oh, the levels of heaven does not involve the parallel worlds.
No.
All right.
Okay. But they didn't know about, they didn't think, they just worried. They weren't into the bliss levels of bliss.
Yeah, because this wasn't long, that's when they were still considering that the earth was flat.
Yes.
Not that there were more than one of them.
Yes, that's right. Okay, so then Joyce, someone pointed out to me, reminded me that in his first novel, Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man, a big chunk of the book is the Sermon of Hell. The preacher giving the fire and brimstone sermon of hell. So that's
the lack of fire in that atonement that prescribed from there was a great quote. Come on, Bob, tighten up. We need this great quote.
From who?
From James Joy. Talking about the apostolic faith and doctrine. Do you remember the reference that the preacher was giving of the apostolic doctrines that were prescribed from the beginnings of the world that had to be prescribed regarding your own bastion of the differential between your immortal soul?
I skipped over that part of the book. I wasn't going to get programmed by it.
Okay.
So, I'm not familiar with that part. I don't remember anything about it.
Well, we might have been leading it just a little bit.
Yeah.
It was a much more simpler vernacular than that, but we were just trying to give you a little juice of something that you could work with there. You need a little pulp in your orange juice, Bob.
Yeah, the thing about fire, you said 5 minutes ago, you were referring to the fire hell that Joyce was using as a metaphor or something?
No, the fire, this burning, eternal fire flame
in
that
hell.
Dante made so livid, and then James Joyce, who didn't buy it or play with it and was making the whole twist about the whole thing, made that a simple reference down to even the candle, the whiff of the candle's flame.
Mm.
Remember?
Yes.
You did read the work, right?
Yeah, a long time ago. Sounds familiar. But the point is, you're saying that the fire becomes a key symbol in his work.
Yes. That brings Dante front center into Finnegan's Wake.
Yes. And
there's a new show on Broadway that's Finneganese that you'll have to look up on. It's supposed to be pretty spectacular.
Okay. But so
maybe they'll do a better job than Joyce did.
Joyce, you say he got in a real muddle tackling Dante.
Well, no, he got in a real muddle trying to get the meme established when he didn't understand it himself.
And what was the meme that he was trying to understand?
That you don't understand.
That's the meme. We don't know.
You don't understand. And all the works and all the king's horses and all the king's men can't figure it out for you. You've got to whittle through your own way, through the layers or the rings of an enlightenment. He was trying to describe how silly it is for you to try to achieve your own atonement when you don't know what you did wrong that got you unatoned. In the beginning.
Yes.
It's all set in that stature of the in and out of the war, the hot and cold of the war, the Finnegan's Wake, the whole process as it danced.
Yeah, the happy fall. The happy fall. I forget the Latin, the Felix Culpa or something. The happy fall. We celebrate our fall because we wouldn't have anywhere to go. He would make paradoxes out of those basic Catholic doctrines.
Yeah. All the way into old Ironsides with the Civil War battleships that were covered in iron and the whole twisting, ranting of you good Christians, hurry up and kill them all so there'll be only Christians left.
So he saw clearly the absurdity of Dante, but he got it himself tied up in a knot.
He didn't see it as absurd. He was trying to explain it.
He's trying to explain that Dante was not true.
No, he was trying to validate the spurning that caused Dante to have that ritualistic work embraced by Dante in the beginning.
He was trying to embrace Dante? He didn't agree with the Dante. He didn't like the effect Dante created.
I understand.
That wasn't me. Did you do something?
No.
Okay, could be that. I don't know. That could have been me, but I don't know how. Okay.
No, you're exactly right. But he was trying to make light of the silliness of the process.
Yeah.
But it vindicated the silliness was the lack of atonement. See, but yet he couldn't get rid of Dante because it had caught on to such a degree that people were starting to quote Dante more than the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so the crisscross of that in and out process, okay, we'll give him some airtime and then smart people will figure this out. Well, he spent his whole life trying to, in rewrites, trying to get it done and he didn't even figure it out himself.
he was trying to figure out how we don't understand what Dante means, what it means.
So much so that how did Dante move way up?
There's something about that phone. I just moved slightly and it makes a noise. Sorry, I don't know why. It's Carol's phone. Yeah, her phone's like that, I guess. Sensitive. Go ahead. It got so bad, I think you started to say.
it got so bad that people started believing Dante and started bringing that into their Catholic experience.
Yeah.
See, so much so that it became, are you a practicing Catholic? Well, I know I'm a Catholic. Hi, my name is Bob. I'm a Catholic. I'm going through the 12 steps, and we're going to get to the 13th, and when I get delivered, I don't go to Mass anymore, because once you're a Catholic, you're always a Catholic. So I don't participate, engage in Catholicism any longer, because it is the path of destruction for me. But I'm trying to overcome, and I'm so glad I have these meetings available that I can come to so that I can listen to my other brothers explain how they're also bitten by the Catholic bug, and that they're a Catholic, and that they'd hope for so much more, but that's the best they could. And they had lined up to get abused as a child by, oh, they were altar boys, and they had to tease those priests, and I'm still a practicing Catholic. What happened? And I appreciate this opportunity, because life is really hard as a Catholic. We have many ebbing flows and twists and turns that catch me beyond my own creation. And I have only hell to look forward to, but I enjoy my place as a Catholic now. And God will grant me the serenity to recognize the things that I can't see and provide me a church that will tell me what I do see and that will give me my rights and my limitations, that which I'm utterly am lost if I do not confess. That I can come into his presence of all of the other Catholics, and that we don't imbibe any longer, but yet we're still in that place of less thanness. And the Catholics will grant me the serenity to know the difference between my Catholicism and non-Catholicism. And I only drink non-Catholic beverages now, and that's much better, because then I know I'm less than. But I've learned to embrace it. Amen.
Go ahead.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So that, in a way, that whole speech is what Joyce saw.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Joyce saw that absurdity. So, but he said we don't understand, and he tried to explain how we don't understand, and he couldn't understand how to explain it.
Correct.
You get them all.
And it's just our Catholic problems, the steps. That would have done it. It would have been so much easier, because then he got it, because then it would be like, well, that's absurd. Well, if you presented it that way, everybody would go, well, that's absurd. And then they go, wait a second, that's really what happened. we're absurdly oblivious to our absurdity.
Yes, now Joyce, he got all complexified because he knew so much about so many different things. He was an encyclopedic mind. So he got into the complexities.
The girth of the encyclopedic mind. Wow.
The girth, yes. So what would Ion, how would Ion interpret what Joyce was thinking when he wrote this line on page 52?
It's very easy. Hi, my name is James, and I'm a recovering Catholic. And I've come with just what we just
did. Yeah, don't go ahead. No. Here's the line.
We can do it again for you.
No. Here's the line.
No.
Here's the line.
One, two, enough.
Television. Television kills. Telephony and brothers broil. The eyes demand their turn. Let them be seen. That is page 52 of Finding His Way. What was Joyce thinking of when he wrote that line? Those several phrases, lines.
The very basics of what we're trying to, he was trying to unestablish or reestablish or establish a meme that brought the frivolity of these, your bodies, as you call it,
yeah.
The degrees or levels.
Yes. The frivolity of it.
Yeah.
But why did he use the word television? Was he referring to TV? Oh, he was. He was referring to television.
Sure.
And then you get into the bodies, I see. Television kills, telephony and brothers broil, the eyes demand their turn, let them be seen. And so he was taking the Catholic point that you just did. And then layering.
The Catholic Creed.
Yeah, Catholic Creed. And he was then making that a jumping off point for discussing different eras in history and different media phases. Mm-hmm. Something like that, right? He started to bring in all of experience.
Well, and that largeness is what drowned him.
Yes.
In his complexity. It got so complex that there was no vicissitude that allowed a common denominator or a thread that could be brought into his place.
So what did he miss so that he got into that?
He could have simplified it down to make it more easy. Simplify it down and not make it such a big, raging, big deal.
But he made a big deal out of it. He was looking for a big
and
deal.
Got himself trapped in his own rabbit hole of big dealness.
Hmm. So that was his.
He wasn't happy with his work.
Right. Yeah, because he was trying to figure out how to do a book as significant or more than Ulysses, which was
yeah.
a big hit. Which is what happened in rock music. Many bands get in trouble after they have a big hit. They don't know how to top it. They don't know where to go after that.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing. Okay, so
back to mamas and the papas.
Yes, that's right. Okay, so I'm looking at the notes here. Thirteenth month calendar. Tibetan Book of the Dead, Hindu web.
Thank you so much for ceasing the beep, beep, beep. That's so much more pleasant.
Yeah, well, that's good. So the, we did that. I'm going to do this again. Have Carol and I deposited pyramids or tools, Egyptian artifacts in Egypt? Ion said, yes, we have. Because we know that's happening, then we're participating in it. That's what Ion said, yes. So just as the shifting from one world to another is very subtle,
Who said that?
Well, if I'm walking along down by the...
Now, wait a minute. That's not easy. Easy there, Trigger. It doesn't have to be. Sometimes it can be a raging, quaking shift.
Very good.
It doesn't have to be. There's a Damascus Road and an Emmaus Road.
What happened on the Emmaus Road?
Well, two people were walking along and they met this fella and they were talking to him and they come to find out he didn't look like every other fella they'd ever seen. He sort of had a translucence about him. And come to find out it was Jesus walking on the Emmaus Road. And they were talking to the Christ and they didn't even know it. And they had this long walking, talking journey with the Christ himself and they didn't even recognize it. So some in the Christ consciousness take a long time to get it. Okay?
Whereas Paul gets knocked off his horse or whatever.
Well, he wants it by fire.
Right.
And he gets it, but it blinds him and it changes his name and everything.
Does that fire point come into Phineas Wake? Different.
Yeah. That's well, he tried to, but he never gets there. See, he can't get out of the river long enough to get struck by lightning, you see.
Right.
Because it's just for the ambient flow took over and lost the synchronicity of the last rites of the work.
Right. So
the book does not include the last rites, and that's what you're trying to ask, is how does it end? Well, it doesn't. It just sort of wraps it back around to a place where it's like, well, Margie, we're out of paper, so I guess it's over. Okay, there's no rewrite.
Okay, but
or was it Margie?
The fourth ring? It was Nora. Nora was his wife.
Marjorie.
He did talk. He used the word Maggie a lot in this book,
which is Marjorie.
Yeah, but the did he call Nora Marjorie? Is that a
no?
No. Okay, but the. The hold now. Don't say anything to try to distract me. There go. See, you're distracting me. Now, what the heck was it? Okay. So
well, then we...
No. Take a moment. Refresh it. Let me try to get this point.
I did it my way.
Joyce, I got it. Joyce, his four rings, he had them as stages to enlightenment. They do not match on with the seven levels of hell, right? They're not connected.
Yes.
You do have here the third circle is Joyce's Raging Inferno. So Joyce had mappings Dante's seven levels in his book, but that mm-hmm. was aside from the four rings that he laid out.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. That's right. And he was the vindicating one to parallel the other, and he never could quite get it there. That was the whole point. But it was very clear, if you did an exegesis on the whole process, if you could, then that'd be an anomaly in and of itself, would it not?
Yeah.
But if you could, if he'd have understood it better, boy, it certainly would have been easier to have to run you around these rings to get you to the degrees of your own separatistness.
Right, but McLuhan didn't see... Well, McLuhan said that Joyce wrote Finnegan's Wake, and I think Finnegan's Wake, not so much Ulysses, in the manner of John of Patmos, circling around. Seven candles, and each one was a level.
Not St. John, not the Apostle John.
John of Patmos. Yeah. So the method of going, like McLuhan said, that John of Patmos would go over the design, the pattern, and come to another level. Then he'd go, that'd take him around the pattern, and then he'd get to another level. And he did it like seven times. McLuhan said Joyce did that. He went over the pattern of the book seven times or more in the manner of Patmos, John of Patmos. So that you agree with that. Okay, so...
Yeah, well, that's what we said. We just babbled it out for 20 minutes to say the same words.
Well... John of
However,
Pat- yeah, John of Patmos, the seven candles do not relate to the seven levels of hell, because that's Patmos is writing 1,000 years before Dante. Dante's the one who created the levels of hell.
We didn't say that they did.
Didn't say that who did? Dante?
What were you talking about? You're talking about James Joyce and the candles.
Yes, James Joyce did the same method as Patmos. That's another aspect of the book.
Yes.
Yeah, and then there's the four rings, and then there's the seven levels of hell. All those are things in the wake. You mentioned 13...
The four horsemen of the Apocrypha.
Yes. There's 13 stations of the cross?
Yes.
Could they have a meaning parallel to our legend? Our cipher.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So when I said the parallel worlds were easy, I knew. The subtleness. When we walk along the pathway in front of the Grand Wilaya and we're slipping back and forth between the worlds, it's very subtle. But there can be dramatic versions.
Absolutely.
Right. And are we, do Carol and I tend to the non dramatic versions?
Well,
that was very undramatic going into the restaurant with J.W. I didn't even know I was doing it.
And yet you noticed it as how strangely different it was. That you're this late night.
Yeah.
And nobody on the street, and then you go into this restaurant and it's hopping and people are everywhere and you're like,
right.
Where did they come from? Where did they go?
Yeah, to my mind, that was a very subtle transition. We went around the corner, and suddenly we were just in a restaurant, but it actually was a parallel world restaurant. No dramatic going through. I think it's when I lift it. Yeah, when I lift this, Carolyn's line is very sensitive. That's all it is. So I touch the wire, and it'll make that noise, which is a problem she's had before. So it was very subtle, not dramatic to me. That kind of subtleness is equal to the parallel worlds. The subtleness of thinking of people, what they interact, the subtleness of interaction between people is like the subtleness between worlds. It's very diaphanous, very transparent. though not to the observers. There's very lot.
That lack of obsequious.
Yeah, it's almost like if we're all one, then any differences on the surface, like there are different people, they seem. You actually have to realize, no, that's just surface foam, surface bubbles. The actual oneness of everybody underneath is what's communicating and why there's so much resonance going on. That is my attempt to explain why people are so tuned into each other.
Okay.
But we do create our own worlds. Can we say there's also not a disconnect from non-physical, but we do disconnect from the other bubbles on the surface?
You certainly can. Yeah. You don't have to, but you can.
All right. So this, I think I forgot the point. The point was the subtleness of the parallel worlds was Joyce was showing the subtleness of media, the subtleness of experience and knowledge, and all these categories, and showed the flux in his book. And he actually did pretty good, but you're saying that he personally didn't know how well he'd done.
Well, he didn't. We personally knew he didn't like it.
Right, and Zappa didn't like his work, and did McLuhan not like his work?
Oh, McLuhan didn't give any attention to anything. It was just the spoof of the day.
Did he enjoy his riff writing?
Yes.
Did Corinne, his wife, know he riff wrote? Did she know anything about that?
Yes, but that would fall into the category of. What do you call
eccentricity? She would regard Marshall as eccentric.
Well, yes, but no, it would be breaking the rules.
He was breaking the rules.
Yes, he was.
And you mean in his communication, or just that he would check out and she knew he was checking out?
Yes.
Right. She did not know what parallel world was.
Right.
Yeah, but she knew something was going on with him. He was breaking the rules. And how did she see it? How did, in her mind, what did she see him doing when he was breaking the rules in her mind? What did she see? What was he lying on the couch?
No. He was typing on his computer.
So he was in the room, in his own room.
Yes, no, we were being cheeky.
Yeah, I know about that, but we'll say what it was. He was in his own study.
Yeah.
And staying there for a long time. And breaking the rules would be not socializing with the family.
No, breaking the rules would be this having to navigate this larger dynamic process without them getting credit for it.
So she knew he was doing something. And why would her credit come into that? Credit of her be connected? He got credit and she did all the work.
Something
like that. Okay. But she didn't do the traveling, but he would take the time to get away. And more than normal. Like he wasn't around enough. And would she call that breaking the rules?
But he didn't care.
So he had other families in other worlds.
Similar, yes.
Yeah. What'd you say? Similar?
Similarly.
Yes. So you're beginning to fade. I think we're near the end.
I think so too.
But the when we were talking about the web bot, was there something about that technology? How does a computer find these algorithms in the chat rooms? How do they manage?
The same way Carolyn pays Google. Have somebody put her information on their words on someone else's website.
Right.
Same way.
But they do tap into patterns on the web bot. They actually have a pretty good record. Zion, yeah. Like the record they get.
Well,
maybe too general.
Yeah, if it is any, yes.
Is there something? Does it illustrate something, what WebBot can do?
The proximity between you and you, within your physicalness, that this can be an empirical way of validating your own experience within physical, then they have no choice but to respond, of course, then in kind. But in kind means that someone did to them what they had done to the quote family, it'd be nothing less than a greasy spot on the sofa of life.
Okay, and with that, we are complete. Thank you.
Yes, indeed.